Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Well, it's Tuesday afternoon, and that was the great Satchmo singing What a Wonderful World. And that means you're listening to Real People in the Psychotherapist Chair with me, Jerry Pives. And in case you don't know what you're listening to, this is Reality Check Radio. I have a great guest today. I'm really thrilled to welcome Stacey Taylor into the Psychotherapist Chair. Stacey, big welcome to you for our Tuesday afternoon session.
It's good. It's good to be here, Jerry. I'm honored to be here, and thank you for the invite, man. I'm really looking forward to the conversation and where this goes and the growth in it for me as well.
Well, I certainly learn a lot in these sessions, and so far, the people who've come on here have always found it valuable. At least that's what they told me to the face. You know, they might say other things behind my back, but I can't talk about that, can I? You're a brave man. I bet there's a few listeners thinking, oh no, what's he going to ask Stacey today? Well, you're in the psychotherapist chair. What made you say yes?
Well, Jerry, I've been on a journey as a man to really heal my trauma and resolve the unconscious patterns that had been controlling me since I was a young boy. And so if I can get an opportunity to sit in front of someone like yourself who has impact, who is sharing a message with the world, you know, I always said, if my story can inspire one man at a time, then it's worth it. And that's really why I jumped at the chance to hop in this chair and have a chat with you, Jerry.
Well, it's very mutual, Stacey. I'm really thrilled to have this chance to talk with you. Well, let's start. Let's dive in with you telling me, and of course the listeners, what your life has been about up until now. If you can do all of that in less than 3 days, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I live in Potaruru in the South Waikato, Jerry. I'm married. I've got 3 adult children. My youngest, who's 21 this year, he left home at the beginning of the year in January. I grew up in a pretty chaotic home, a lot going on within that home, Jerry, and I didn't really know how badly it impacted me until I'd become a man with my own family and trying to navigate the world as a man. And so what happened is I just found myself over the years in these loops or in these patterns that I didn't even know I was doing for many, many years. But I've always had a passion for coaching youth, for youth sport. You know, I've coached all my kids' teams. And so that was really where I started understanding coaching and the value of being a mentor for other people. And as my children grew up and left school, the coaching sort of come to an end in that realm. And then from there, Jerry, basically, you know, sort of found myself in a little bit of limbo for a while there. Started to go on a personal journey of healing and self-discovery and bringing conscious awareness and growth to my own self as a man, because I could start to see these things that were negative patterns that were playing out. And as I started to heal and resolve those in my own life and see the changes within my own marriage, within my own family, as a father, the natural progression was just to start to take that to other men. And so that's really where I'm in. That's the space that I'm in now, Jerry, is helping other men to really break free from that seemingly invisible force that controls our lives. So that's really a snapshot of my life.
Wow, you really did do that in less than 3 days. I'm impressed. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
man.
Wow. I mean, if those of you listening, you know, if you want to also click on replays, you can hear a really interesting interview with Natalie Cutler-Walsh. So that was a few months back, and they can go there and hear about that. And I think you talk a great deal in that interview about your work, and I'm sure that'll come into this conversation. But this conversation is really about you. And the aim of my program is for me and the listeners to have an understanding of kind of what gets you out of bed in the morning, what makes you tick. That's one part of it. And the other part is we're aiming to understand how you deal with stress and trauma, dealing with, well, listen, I can't think of anything more traumatic than coaching a bunch of kids.
No, it was actually quite therapeutic, Jerry. You know, I always said I never wanted to be a teacher, but I could coach kids for a couple of hours and then I'm out of there, you know, so it was a good buzz.
Well, they put you through the ringer, don't they, kids?
Yeah, you know, even as a father, as a coach, you know, coaching the younger kids was a lot of fun because it's just pure fun, you know, as you get a bit older and especially coaching rugby and sports in New Zealand, you know, a lot of politics come into it. It's very competitive. Everyone wants to be the shining star and win, and you've got a lot of parents and a lot of dynamics when you're coaching 20, 25 kids with parents all involved. So, you know, it's been a really interesting journey of understanding people, understanding what makes individuals rise to their highest potential. You know, coaching rugby in the Waikato, you know, like always said, you had such a variety of kids. You'd have kids that would come from a home where they'd had all their meals, they were in bed early, they had everything. And then you'd have kids that would turn up and look like they'd gone to bed at 5 a.m. and hadn't eaten and didn't have a jersey. And so it really inspired me, Jerry, to just start to understand individuals and how can I impact an individual within a team environment and make them feel like they had a family outside of their family. And so it's been a very special journey for me and such a great gift now as I take this into my own personal coaching or my own business is that all of this wisdom and knowledge that I just really did for love is actually now such a great gift that I have within me and to be able to share with others on the journey that I'm on now.
Wow, just pausing right there, just on what you said there, that's really hit me. All that you were giving, all that you were giving and helping, and in all of that time when you were giving your time, your skill, your support to these kids, all that time, you were actually amassing enough learning and lessons for yourself and what you saw with these kids to launch you into what sounds to me like very effective work that you're doing now with men. It's almost like when I first listened to you with Natalie's program, I got very interested. And one of the questions in my head was, blimey, how the hell does this fella know so much? You know, and it was like, I was thinking, so much of what you said made sense. Where did he learn this? How did he do that? And it seems to me that right there, what you've said, something about when we give, that's when we get the most, right?
Oh, I couldn't put it any better, Jerry. You know, I didn't realize it until, you know, a few years ago. But what I was giving just from the heart, from a space of love, I was actually receiving and amassing wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of what it's like to be a human being from all different points of view. And, you know, that's really where a lot of my wisdom has come, is just from walking life's journey, being open and receptive to life, really taking an interest in helping people, you know, no matter where they were at, and being able to see the gifts in others and really be able to shine a light on it in a way that they can see it too. Because, you know, the environments that I've coached in, you know, a lot of these kids or youth are put down. They're attacked for what they're not. They lose a lot of confidence over time. And they all respond slightly differently. So, you know, I just found this deep passion for what is this kid's talent? What is this kid's gift? And how can I make him see it in the way that I can see it? And how can I instill a passion or a trust within themselves to let themselves shine within that gift without fear? And that's really where, you know, I guess it's looking back at it, Jerry, it's what I always wanted as a boy growing up, was someone to see me, to shine a light on me, to love on me, to give to me, to inspire me. And so even just sitting here sharing that with you, you know, it's reflecting on this, you know, you can even feel the emotions welling up, because I still see these boys today that, well, they're men now, bigger than me, you know, but every time I see them, whether it's in the street, whether it's wherever, there's this just glitter in their eye, man, this gleam in their eye, and they're like a magnet to me to just talk, and there's no walls, there's no barriers, and it's such a special thing, you know. They'll text me, hey, Stacey, I'm coming through, can I call in and say hello? So, you know, that's when I realized the impact that, you know, we have a lot of judgment in the world of standards we should reach or meet, that we're judging a lot of people based on what we think they should be, not on who they truly are. And so that was my greatest passion in coaching sports, is being able to see a kid just, you know, shine for who they were and what they were, and enjoy life and have fun and, you know, go wherever they wanted to take it, mate.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. I could feel the emotion in that. When you were talking about that craving, that deep craving to be seen. Mm-hmm. And for so many men, the generational trauma that men have tolerated and put up with and been shoved into. I talk about war, you know, the world wars. I talk about the traumas of so many men in their upbringing, in the way that boys were brought up or not brought up. And I speak of myself too. Like you, Stacey, I speak of myself. I don't speak of what I don't know. I only speak of what I know. And I really do resonate with what you're saying. So many men, boys, need men who are present. And I heard you talk about that with Natalie. So many men have stood up historically and taken the protective stance, stood up in armies, stood up in breadwinning, stood up in building, stood up in the long hours to clear the land, stood up, and got battered for it. And because of the battering, they weren't there for the next generation. And it's heroic. It's not something they did wrong. They broke themselves on behalf of their families. That's how I look at it.
I couldn't agree more with that, Jerry. You know, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents growing up, and my grandfather was a war veteran, you know, through Italy. And I seen the devastation of, that was really, I didn't know about trauma. I never really knew about trauma until a few years ago. But I see my grandfather who had been to war. I've got his photos, just incredible. But you see a photo of him when he went to war at 15. And when he came back in his mid-20s, yeah, he forged his papers to go and to war to try and find his cousin. And there's this youthful young boy in one photo. And you see a photo of when he come back, and he had aged 20 plus years, Jerry, in the photos. It was less than 10-year period. And I used to spend a lot of time with my grandfather, and in the morning he was the most incredible, beautiful soul. But around 1 or 2 o'clock, he'd go into his garage to drink his flagons, and the man that had come out of that garage was not the same man. And, you know, looking back, you know, my granddad gave me a gift that I didn't know at the time, because he was showing me the impact of trauma on men when it's unresolved. And he was showing me that there was this incredible man inside, but he had no way to connect with him. He was so wounded. There was no tools or even no awareness or no support to help him. And the only way he could find to get through it was the drink, you know, to drown down and to push down that pain. And so, you know, what I've seen in the world over the last 5 or 10 years as an attack on men and masculinity. And like you say, men being protectors and providers and heroes of other people. And this is really why I'm in this space now, is to, to be able to help men to break free of the things that, I seen my granddad go through it his entire life, Jerry. And, and I seen the impact on my father and on my family, and I just wanted to change that. And I didn't know I was going to do that. It wasn't on the cards, but, the universe, God, whatever you believe in, led me to the path. And so what you speak to, I resonate with deeply. That men have been hurt, they're afraid, they're wounded, and they don't know what to do anymore, because, if you stand up now and stand for something, you can be assaulted or attacked verbally, just attacked, and men are afraid and they're lost. So, yeah.
Well, Stacey, I haven't even asked some of the basics about you. The listeners are probably wondering how old you are. How old are you, fella?
47 years old, brother.
And what do you call your work now?
I guess I'm on a mission to help men realize the greatest version of themselves. That's what I'm here to do, Jerry, because through my own life, I could see there was this incredible man inside of me, but I'd reach points in my life of beauty or success, and I'd wake up and I'd be standing in a bomb site, basically, of self-destruction, self-sabotage. And I just thought it was bad luck for years, Jerry, until one day just this intuition or a higher voice whispered to me that there's something you can't see. And after that day, I realized everything I believed, everything I thought, wasn't truly what I believed. So I went on a journey to find the truth, Jerry. And it's been a brutal journey, but it's been a beautiful journey as well.
Well, there's real courage in what you talk of, Stacey. Did you do it all on your own? Did you get any help?
No, I got a lot of help along the way. Different facilitators, different mentors, different healing modalities to help me to sort of start to reveal it and find the truth and find what was in the unconscious and what programs. And a lot of trust in myself. If I felt like, yeah, that person I should go and work with, or that modality I should look into. But yeah, I've definitely had a lot of support. I don't believe it's something you can do on your own, Jerry. It's you need people that are steps ahead of you on the journey to help you wherever that may be. That could be one time, or that could be for a period of time.
So you are mentoring men into finding the best version of themselves, I think is how you describe that.
Yeah. I sort of have the saying, Jerry, create the man you always needed growing up, and then give that man to your wife, give that man to your family, and give that man to the world. So that's really my ethos, is to help these men to create the man that they always needed growing up. And that's not to take away from their fathers or their mothers or their grandfathers, but that's just to realize that there's so much more available to us, and that we can actually tap into that when we have the courage to go into that space.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. And, this touches on something really important to me. I can so easily go into the victim. Why me? Why is this happening to me? All of that. But, the thing that really gets me the most is when I play the victim, I just feel sorry for myself. And I just think about what I didn't have and what I didn't get and all of those. And it's so easy to go down there, right? How unfair life is. And then I have to confront myself with my next door neighbor. So for about 15 years, my next door neighbor, he was the greatest dad. He was a way better dad to his boys. His boys were the same age as mine. And I got a girl as well, my kids. And I couldn't work out this guy. He was he was such a lovely guy. Gordon, if you're listening now, respect, man. And then I found out this guy was pretty much dumped in a children's home. He never had a dad. never, ever had a dad. And right next door to me, while I was doing my psychotherapy training, right next door to me was this living evidence that it's not about, it's sometimes because we've missed something, because we were not given something, because something was lost or even taken away. I know there are listeners listening to this program, and I love you all because you listen in and you hear this stuff. And I know that you think about this stuff so deeply. I love my listeners, Stacey. I love them. They, every week they come in and they listen to this stuff. What I'm talking about is it's not what you've got. It's the awareness and the facing, that what you did, Stacey, that courageous facing what's missing, what's wrong. Really, really, it's like face the reality. And that takes guts, right? But to know, this is what I want to say. I'm not saying it very quickly, but that's all right. We're not in a rush. What I want everyone to know, and I hear it in you, is the things we didn't have. How on earth do we know we didn't have them? The only reason we know we didn't have them is because we know them. Don't ask me how we know them, but we know we didn't have them because we have a knowledge inside of us. And if we use that wound, that taken away, that loss, whatever it is, there was my next door neighbor, Gordon, with nothing to go on, being one of the best dads I saw in the whole of our town that I knew of. Go figure.
And I think that's the biggest thing I've learned on my journey, Jerry, is some of us can see these things as a gift from a very young age, or from an age that we are able to turn it into a positive. But then some of us, our psyche perceives it as a negative, and it latches on to that negative for so long that it becomes unconscious behaviors around it. It's been fascinating for me because I was just talking with a friend the other day who, you know, I can see like what you're saying. He took very similar things that I went through and he changed it at 19 and has taken empowered action. And for some reason, it took me another 20 years to be able to, you know, to be able to come into the conscious awareness of that, oh, I'm being a victim without even knowing it, was the first thing. And that took brutal self-honesty. But yeah, even for me, it's fascinating how we're all so unique that someone can go through something and unconsciously turn it into a positive, or someone can go through something very similar and their psyche will turn it into a negative. And like you say, whatever the subconscious latches onto, it's just going to create over and over until we either change it or we just keep reinforcing it. So you know, I can really relate to what you're sharing there with your neighbor, Jerry. That's a very powerful analogy or story of what can play out with trauma, good or negative.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to Reality Check Radio. And this is Real People in the Psychotherapist Chair with me, Jerry Pives. And sitting in the chair, this brave fella, Stacey Taylor. And we're diving into the wounds of men, right? That's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, Jerry. You know, wounded men, wounds of men is really what we're talking about, because I see it as one of the biggest needs in our society right now is to help men realize how wounded they are, and also ways and tools and skills and out of that, so that they don't have to remain in that, and that we can actually stop these wounds or generational wounds continuing down to our children and grandchildren. So, yeah.
How did you begin to see that something had to change?
Yeah, so it was about three and a half years ago, Jerry. I woke up one day, my wife had left me, my finances and business had gone down, you know, had basically blown up again. My physical health was a mess. And I was sitting in our sunroom, and the old Stacey, the egoic Stacey, said, you know, stop being a pussy, basically. Get up and get after it again. And I was like, right, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna put this right. And just in a split second, Jerry, I don't know where it came from, but there was just this voice that come in that said, stop. Stop. There's something you can't see. And in that moment, Jerry, I didn't know what I was gonna do, but I just realized that was enough for me to go, okay. It just created space, I guess, is the best way, Jerry, to go, okay, there's something you can't see. That sowed a seed for me straight away. And as I sat with this throughout the day, I was like, man, you've done the same pattern about 5 or 7 times in your life since you were a teenage boy right through till now. Beautiful relationship, amazing financial success, incredible health. And as soon as it's at this place that you would dream of, bang, you wake up, something self-sabotage comes in, whatever it is, and you're back in this place of hell, and then you've gone again. And I just repeated it. And as I sat with it throughout the day, Jerry, I could see this pattern that had just been going around 5, 6, 7 times over and over and over, and the actual time frames was now getting shorter. And as I sat with it, I was like, there's something controlling you that you can't see. Like, there's something stronger than you, because who would self-sabotage a beautiful life? Who would self-sabotage a beautiful relationship? So I said, right, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, like you've been doing your entire life without knowing you're doing it. And I didn't know anything about healing. I didn't know anything about trauma. I didn't know anything about any of this stuff. And I remember I was like, okay, something will come my way. And I remember this guy that I followed posted up about this breath workshop program that he was running. And as I read the list on his post or on his post about if you're suffering from this, I'm like, man, this is me. Every single one of these things with me. And so that's really where my journey started, Jerry. I reached out to him, signed up to his program, and the rest was basically history. I found out about trauma and healing and the subconscious mind and all of the stuff, Jerry, and that's when I started to go down this path of, you know, healing basically as a man.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And so many things in what you've said. I love the fact that you went with the breath, because the beautiful thing about beginning the journey with the breath as opposed to sort of psychological analysis is that it gets you right in the body straight away.
Yeah, well, I remember it vividly, Jerry. You know, I signed up, you know, I was excited and, you know, fired up because I found this, you know, potential way out. But I remember walking into that workshop. It was a 6-week program, and I remember going up there fired up, excited. And as I walked through the door, Jerry, and I seen the facilitator, he was a male. As I walked in, I literally paused in the door because it was 6 females. And I was like, surely there's another man. And I literally turned to walk out, man. I was that afraid. And the guy caught me and brought me into the space. But yeah, like once I lied down and did that first breathwork session, man, and, you know, went into that altered state of consciousness, and memories and emotions and feelings and things started to come up. It was painful, man. And it was, but that's when I realized, wow, this is why your life has been going the way it is, because there's so much within your body. There's so much that's unprocessed. And that's why the breath work just blew my whole reality apart within weeks. It was like someone took my reality and shattered it with a sledgehammer. And I was just like, wow, now what, you know? So yeah, it was an interesting journey, Jerry.
Well, Well, I'm sure the listeners are sitting on the edges of their seats with this stuff. I am. I'm loving it. And you see, isn't it interesting how supportive women mostly are when fellas face their pain? It's almost like many women, at least those that haven't become masculinized, many women understand this world of emotion and pain, and they desperately want men to get real with their pain and to face it. And I just think how different many women are. I mean, I bet the women on the course were really supportive of what you were doing. Am I right?
They were. I remember, you know, once I went in, my ego was like going, man, what have you done, you idiot? You know, like I remember the facilitator catching me as I literally went to walk out the door. I'm like, I don't care about my money. I'm out. What, you idiot. And he caught me out the door and brought me back in. And so he knew me pretty well. We knew each other through sports and through sort of performance breath work. And as I'm sitting there, Jerry, I'm looking around and I'm like, we walk into the actual room where the program was being facilitated. And I was like, oh no, he's going to ask me first. He's going to ask me first, why have you come here? Because you're the only male. And I was literally sitting in the chair with my head down, whispering under my breath, just don't ask me. Just don't ask anyone else but me. Please, please. And so he goes, right, let's get into it. And he goes, so Stacey, what brought you here? My heart sunk, Jerry. And it was like, I don't know if you've ever seen the cartoons with the little devil on the shoulder and the angel. And my ego was saying, just lie, bend the truth. Don't tell them what's going on. Just come up with some story that's just enough. And this little voice on the other side said, well, if not now, then when? And in that moment, Jerry, I shared stuff I hadn't shared with a single human being on this planet, including my wife. And once I started to share and the emotions come, I just said, I'm done. I can't hold up this lie anymore. I didn't even know I was holding up a lie until that moment. And like I say, you know, for about 10 minutes, I shared the truth of my life for the very first time with a single person outside of the masks and the facade and the show that Stacey had put on. And what blew me away is the very next lady, the lady next to me, she goes to share and she goes, I've got stage 4 cancer. I've got 2 young girls and my husband's cheated on me. And the first thing that come in is like, oh, far out, it's not just me that's going through pain. You know, because I thought it was just me that was going through this level of pain. Now I'm crying because I'm like, what a brave woman. And then the next lady shares and the next lady shares. And I was like, they have no time to worry about you and what you're afraid of them knowing. They've got their own battles and we're all in this together. And that was a very special day because by the end of it, those women became like sisters to me. And you know, the connection and the truth in it. And it was just something I'll never forget because it made me, the biggest thing it gave me, Jerry, is I realized it wasn't just me that was hurting in this world. It wasn't just me that was confused, that was lost, that didn't know a way out. And it was a very special, you know, and many of the journeys I've been on to until recently have 99% of times it's been me, the only male in these experiences, you know, it's changed a little bit over the years, but, you know, I realized how scary it was. And that's why I love doing this work because I understand what it takes for a man to even reach out to me.
I want the listeners to know that I am looking at you and the man I'm looking at, he's no pussy. All right. He'd be quiet at home in the scrum. I just want you to know that.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because I hear and see and meet a lot of women who crave for the strength in their men. But the strength isn't the brittle, made up, cardboard cutout strong man. That's not strength. That's brittle. And we all know brittle things break very easily. Like they snap. They snap, right? They snap with the booze. They snap with the violence. They snap with the drugs. They snap with just buggering off, right? Just running. We men, we can snap if our strength is based on brittle, shallow images that society gives us. And so many women, they want the strength, but, you know, they want the reality of that. They want the pained man, the wounded man, as much as they want the man who will. I'm getting quite emotional now because there's something in men. We'll lie down. We'll give our life. We'll stand, you know, over our dead bodies. Will yeah. they come for our kids and our family, right? It's inbuilt. We don't have to manufacture it. It's who we are. It sits somewhere in the testicles, I suspect. But wherever it sits, it's in us.
Yeah.
And we don't have to bravado it. We don't have to pretend it. We can be feeling men who are flawed, pained, wounded, hurt, grieving, whatever. But we can be strong with that. It's not an either or. And so much of society has said man has got to be strong and pretend that he doesn't feel.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right, Jerry. You know, like I'm tattered from head to toe. I worked in the forestry, tree falling. I've done kickboxing, all the things. But I was broken. I was broken inside. And I was trying to create a man to hide the wounds. That's the best way I can explain it, Jerry. I was trying to paint a picture of this is a strong man with no wounds. There's nothing wrong with me. And I did good at it, but as soon as I got to a point where I'd be exposed, I'd self-sabotage myself to go back around. And you're so right. It's in our DNA to be strong, to protect, to provide, to die for something that we believe in and that we love, but we've been conditioned to not feel, to not release. You know, I have this analogy that when men are born, it's like someone hands us a backpack. And as we go through life, all of the emotions that aren't safe to feel, all of the pain that's not safe to express, we just start throwing it in this bag. And by the time we start getting into our 30s or 40s, this bag's heavy, but we forgot we put it on. And that's really what happened to me that day, Jerry. That bag brought me to my knees. And that bag of rocks brought me to my knees. And it had brought me to my knees many times, but men are so stubborn. And the fear of being seen in emotion, a man will just keep going and keep going. And this is what you see with men taking their lives or hitting substances of abuse, because it's safer to do that than feel. You know, it's safer to do that than show emotion, because when you're a young boy, you know, every man I work with, the minute it's something comes up, and it's pretty easy for me to find it now, the minute that first sign of emotion comes up, you see them try to choke it back down. And I say to them, which one was it? And they say, what do you mean? And I said, was it, I'll give you something to cry about, or don't be a pussy, or whatever it is. And they just laugh. They laugh straight away. How do you know? So if you're conditioned from a young age to push down your emotions, once we start to push them down so much, like you say, they're going to overflow. So now we're trying as hard as we can to suppress them, but some little trigger, now it's violence. Now it's whatever it is, anger, over-emotional sadness, maybe it's depression, because we don't understand it. And that part of us that's our protector says showing emotion is the most dangerous thing you can do. That's why I wanted to walk out even though I'd paid that man. And what I've learned is that emotion is a strength when a man faces it through conscious choice, where he says, right, I've got some stuff here and I'm going to face it. But if you don't face it, it controls you, brothers. And you know, the control it has is so powerful. And like you say, you know, women know if you're not right. Their nervous systems know, their being knows. And I'd seen when my wife was in her feminine and knew she was safe, and I could see when she wasn't, and it was all based on me. And so as I just continue to do this work, Jerry, I realize that the importance of this, that my kids are absorbing my energy, not what I say, not what I tell them to do. They're absorbing who I am. As soon as I got that concept, I said, it's no longer about me. I don't care what anyone thinks about me. If I cry, if I show emotion, if I show my pain. Now, I've done videos of my breathwork sessions, and the facilitator said, I don't think we should share this, Stacey. It's pretty vulnerable. I said, it's not about me. It's about showing men that it's okay in the right environment to feel, Jerry. And so, you know, I feel the emotions as well just talking to you, because I know what it took for me to do it. I understand what it takes for another man to do it. And I understand. I always say I know pain, but I don't know your pain. But man, do I know pain. So men are suffering. They're suffering in silence. I believe the powers that be don't really want us well. They don't want us healed. And so, you know, this is a taboo subject for many men, but it's where I believe we're at a point. I see it every day. We're at a point where there's no other choice but to heal now.
Love it. I love what you're saying, Stacey. And I'm wondering, where can people find you if they want to reach out and work with you?
Facebook, Stacey Taylor, no E. Instagram, I am Stacey Taylor, and the YouTube, everything's coming. I just say God now. I'm not religious, but I just say God over the last 6 months has really schooled me has taken me to school when I go off the path that I'm meant to be on. And I just went through it with just after the interview with Natalie, and a few amazing opportunities came, and it scared me. It actually unconsciously scared me that, oh man, I'm standing up and I'm the one talking about this. And I sort of shut down and tried to go down a different path. And as soon as I went down that different path, Jerry, it was like God said, man, I'm going to smack you because you're not getting the lesson and we don't have no more time. So it was about 10 days ago, I was like, okay, I get the message. I'll get back on the path and I'll stay to the course that I'm going to go down. So, yeah.
I love your honesty, Stacey. I love your courage and I love your openness. Well, earlier on, you were talking about walking into that course, and that image has really stuck with me. When you walked in there and you wanted to leave, you know, I just love that. I reckon every fella listening completely gets that.
I'm telling you, man, I was already out the second door. He caught me in the car park, you know, like I'd paid this man a couple of $1,000. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm just going to come up with some lie.
He chased you into the car park.
He chased me into the car park, and I'm like, I'm coming up with some lie. I'm coming up with some story why I can't do it, you know. But, you know, there's no coincidences, and he called me back in, Jerry, and started the journey. And about 3 weeks later, I remember this very vividly, 3 weeks later, I hadn't spoken to my wife. We'd been married for 20 years. We'd hardly spoken. And I knew in my heart it was over, even though I'd resigned myself to the fact that it was done, and I have to accept it, and I have to just carry on. And I remember one night she texts me and she said, "Oh, can I come around and see our son? He was about 18 at the time," and she said, "I'm going nuts at dad's. Can I just come around and see CT and just spend a few hours there?" And I asked her, "Do you want me to leave?" And she's like, no, you're good. I'll just come around, catch up with them, hang out for a bit, get a bit of breathing space." And I said, "Do you want me to chuck some dinner on?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, that'll be nice." So anyway, she came around, our teenage son, you know, 15, 20 minutes, he's off, you know, and we sit down. We sit down for dinner, and I could feel her anger. I could feel her sadness, Jerry. I could feel it all. And this was about three sessions into this program. And I just sat there and I said something, and she just let rip. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, my mouth shut, Jerry. There's no response, there's no attack. There's no trigger. I'm literally wanting to touch my body to go, where's the trigger? And long story short, she shared and cried for about 3 hours that night. And I think I said one sentence in the whole 3 hours, which was, as you can imagine, was like, you know, this. I was just like, but there was no more trigger, Jerry. There was no more need to defend or attack or nothing like that. And at the end of it, you know, I gave her a hug. I'd been holding her as she shared, and she went to go back to her dad's, and I said goodnight to her. And as she, I'll never forget this, man. She took two steps and she looked back at me and she goes, "Who the fuck are you?" And I said, "I don't even know." You know, and I had tears coming down my eyes. And even now, just talking about it brings the emotion. But she left and I went to bed in pure peace that night, Jerry, that I was now a man who was standing in truth and not a lie. And that morning, she rung me and she goes, she came around and she goes, I don't know what's happened to you. She said, I've never felt so emotionally safe. I've never felt so protected. Can I have the details of the breathwork, man, that you went to? I might see if I can do some sessions. And within a week, man, she'd started her sessions. And within a few weeks, we'd come back together in this beautiful relationship, and we've just been healing together and growing together ever since. So it was a pretty special thing for me as a man to lead it. But it took great pain. It took everything for me to lose everything to actually realize that I had to go on this journey, man.
Wow. Wow. Respect, Stacey. I love that. That is so powerful. I'm choked up here. Yeah, the women at your course, I know they would have thought, oh, if only my partner, my husband, my whatever, was here doing what Stacey was doing. It's like, and if a woman touches on her pain, most of the blokes go, oh, she'd be right. Get over it. You know, it's like, give her a bit of advice, you know, tell her to do this or that, and yep. Move on and go and fix the car, right?
You're right, Jerry.
And I feel for the men, I feel for the women, I feel for this whole bloody planet, actually. I'm old enough now to have been around and seen it, and it's like, I feel that we've been so misled about who we are. And I want to come on to something else that you talk about this, and you talk with such experience, and you talk of yourself. You're not reading a book or citing a theory. You're talking of your experiences, Stacey, which is why I've got such respect for what you're saying. And you absolutely landed when you said to yourself, something controlling you that you can't see. As a psychotherapist who's been reading about this stuff, and listen, I started with the body and breath too, so I'm absolutely with you on this journey. That is the best expression of the unconscious I think I've heard in about 10 years, Stacey. The way you articulate it is just beautiful. Something controlling you, Stacey, that you can't see. That's it. That's right there. That's you know, I just love the straight talking, the way you put it. It's so straightforward. And there's this thing going on when you talk. So I'm just going to take a risk and talk about it. You say you're not religious or I don't know what you said. You said you're not something, but you're talking about a voice inside of you that said, stop. Mm. And you're talking even a few weeks ago after your interview with Natalie, you're talking about a guiding force within you. And I just want to say, do you get that feeling that someone, something is guiding you?
No doubt. See, I grew up initially in my childhood, was chaotic. My parents drank a lot. There was a lot of aggression. My mum was heavily depressed, sick, and there was a lot of aggression in my house, especially from my father. And then my parents at one point found the church and became religious. And so I associated religion with spirituality, with healing, and I didn't want a bar of it because the bottle was replaced by the Bible, and the same level of abuse was dished out to me as a young boy. And so the last place I ever wanted to go was near God. I just say it now, Jerry, God, the universe, source, grand consciousness. And every single day, man, like I have a process in the morning where I'll go to the gym and I'll hop on the stair climber or I'll do burpees, I'll do something challenging as a man. And it's like I get to a point where I escape my own mind and it's like God's talking to me, say this today, Stacey, here's your message for the day. And I just realized that there's a consciousness that we can all tap into that's higher than ourselves. But to do that, we have to, first of all, release all this guilt and shame that we're carrying. We have to start to move through our own personal levels of consciousness. And the more that we do this, the more we can connect to source. And the more we can connect to source, the more we're being guided from a higher power. And, you know, Stacey's just stubborn. You know, like I have all these messages coming in and then I'm like, nah, God, I don't trust you. I want to go do my own thing. And so like that voice, that connection's gone and I feel like I'm in the wilderness suffering. But I truly believe, Jerry, like without a shadow of a doubt, hand on heart, if someone had said this to me 3 years ago, I would have laughed at you. But I know in my heart and soul that there's something greater than me. And the more I surrender to that, my life flows and everything is beautiful.
Yeah, thank you for that. Man, I just get so angry at what has been done to the church, by the church, with the church. So many people I know have terrible, terrible experiences. And a message that was forgiveness and love has got turned into hatred and violence and judgment. And yet I think when we go into ourselves, when we go into the very center of our being, what we find is not us. I believe what we find is almost the indescribable painfulness of total love. It's like if we meet that love and we carry any shadow to it, it hurts us, you know, and we've got plenty of that, haven't we?
So right, you know, like you know, I love that quote. It's not our dark that frightens us, it's our light. You know, and the more I go on this journey, I realize, you know, every time you've shone your light and you've been stung or you've been hurt or you've been abused, feeling that unconditional love and allowing yourself to be in it, it's especially as a man, is scary because there's always that unconscious part of you that's like, man, if you do this, you're going to get hurt. And it's something special when you start to connect with it, but it's even more special when you start to trust it.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put, Stacey. If you're wondering what on earth you're listening to, this is Real People in the Psychotherapist Chair with me, Jerry Pives, and I'm talking with Stacey Taylor. Man, we're going deep on this session today. There's nothing left out of the there's nothing left out on the field, as they say.
That's how I roll in these sessions, Jerry. Like I love this, why I love talking to men like you and people like you, because I wish I had a message like this when I was in the hole. I wish I had someone who was speaking to the truth when I was looking for the answers. So if we can share this and it impacts one or two people, or someone shares it with someone and it leads them to start their journey, it's so worth it. And, you know, once I realized that the things that I was hiding was because there was a part of me that was afraid of being humiliated. And as soon as I started to expose myself, that humiliation turned into humility, and then that humility shifted to humor. And now I laugh about the things that created so much pain for me, I can laugh at now. And there's so much light and lightheartedness in that. And in that lightheartedness, there's forgiveness, there's acceptance, there's realization that, you know what, my mother, my father, they didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't have the internet. It was hard enough to get a book, let alone be able to find the information that I've been able to find. And all I realized is they gave me a gift wrapped as pain. I just had to unwrap it to see the gift in it, Jerry.
This is so beautiful, because people often think that doing this kind of work is self-indulgent and is somehow blaming everybody else. Back to the victim. You know, I'm going to talk about the drama triangle, listeners, in the reflections bit. I'm going to teach the drama triangle. So you're going to get a real psychotherapy teach on the drama triangle if you stay listening to the next section before I invite Stacey back for his music with meaning, which is one of my favorite parts of the show, actually. But that's down the line in a bit. Let's hang in here for a little bit, because this idea that doing this work is somehow indulgent is, well, it's just one of the stupidest bloody ideas you'll ever hear. Because it's never easy. It's always challenging. It'd be easier to climb up the mountain and do your next big thing, whatever your big challenge is, you know, walk the world on your head or something. I don't know what people come up with, but whatever it is, quadruple the hardest thing you can think of and walk into that room, right? I say to my clients in my therapy room, and when they walk in, they sit down and it's their first session. At some point in that session, I love it if I can find a way to say, you realize just walking through that door is the most scary thing. Yeah. I used to turn up to my therapist's door. I'm going to tell you this story. I used to turn up to my therapist's door, and I had to walk down his garden path. And every step, the closer I got to his door, the more my feet began to feel like lead. Like they really began to be hard to move. And I would get to that door and I would say, please don't let him be in. Please don't let him be in.
It's like me going to run, Jerry. We've all got our own way of dealing with it, right? Because it's so scary.
I said, if only he could forget the session, then I could say, there you are. I told you it was no bloody good, all this therapy rubbish, all this self-development and all that. And I could walk away, and every time he was there, the bastard, he was there every time, on time. And it became one of our funniest bits, because he'd say, so how was it today, Jerry, walking down the path? And I say, didn't want you to be here. And he said, yeah, well, that's good. That's good. You're very welcome.
Yeah, you're so right, Jerry. It is the scariest thing you will ever do. And that's why we prolong it and go through so much pain before we, you know, like especially men. You know, I say life brings men to their knees, but they've usually got one or two more bursts in them before they're truly brought to their knees, you know. And it's funny you say that, because I was talking with my sister the other day, and we were talking about how hard and how painful and this journey is. And my sister's an ultra marathon runner, and she's run 100 kilometers. She's run the miler. She said, I'd rather go and train for that and run for that than go through what this has taken me through. And I said, yeah, and that's why you were running those races and why you could push so hard, because pain takes away the pain or suppresses the pain temporarily.
Yeah, and that's the unhealthy side of exercise, right?
Yeah, 100%. I see it in the world right now. If you're using exercise for your therapy, yeah, you're very close to breaking point.
Well, and also, you know, from personal experience, you also break your body. I mean, if you keep doing it, you know, I had 4 knee operations before I realized that thumping the pavement and running the mountains for hours was not really going to change anything.
you can't escape yourself, Jerry. You're carrying him wherever you run, wherever you go. I had to learn that the hard way too, man. I try to use fitness, work, all of the things to, I didn't know it at the time, but to escape the pain. And, you know, you've got to wear yourself down in every avenue to be brought to the place where you have to face it, because it's not something that's, we're taught. It's not something that's normal. It's very unnormal. We've got to be hit by something that forces us to stop and look at ourselves in a way we haven't before.
And I think the key thing in all of this, Stacey, is that doing it alone is not going to work. I think that's so important, isn't it?
You can't do it alone, Jerry. You might be able to do certain parts of it by yourself, but it's a lonely journey as it is. You know, like when I started this journey, I didn't know a single man other than the facilitator that was doing it. You know, it's not like I could go to some of my friends and say, hey, I went through this breathwork journey and this was what happened. They would have looked at me like I was cooked, you know. And so for a long time, it was a very lonely journey, and it is too, because you're facing parts of yourself that no one else can actually walk through. They may be able to guide you on the journey, but it's very lonely when everything you think you thought, everything you thought you believed, your whole reality, which is an illusion of the ego, gets shattered. It is lonely. It feels like death at times, because it is a sort of death back to moving from that ego into that soul. And so, you know, it is very lonely, and it does take support. You can't do it alone. And, you know, men, especially around this stuff, we think we can do it alone. So we try. And, you know, the best piece of advice I could ever give is just find someone who resonates, whoever that is, to start the journey. Use your discernment. But usually once you get to that point, there's someone or some person or some place that resonates for you to go. But like you said, it'll feel like there's lead in your boots, and you'll feel like you want to run, but that's really where the magic is. And taking that step with the lead in the boots and letting the guy open the door and walk in, you know.
You could almost say, as a mind trick, the more you don't want to do it, the more you got to do it.
Yeah, I always say our conscience is the higher voice, or our higher self. So I see this all the time with men. They'll hear one of my interviews, they'll see one of my videos, and they literally reach out on the spot, and they're like, it's like you were speaking to me. And I'm like, cool, I'll talk to them about it. I'm like, I can help you. Let's move forward. Here's what we've got to do. Here's the cost. I'll get back to you. And literally, Jerry, within 3, 6, or 12 months, they're back, and now they're ready to step in. But whenever you give the ego space, like me, it will talk you out of it straight away, because it doesn't want you to face the stuff. It was like me, you know, I'd paid the guy, walk in the door, and I'm gone. Here, take my money, I'm out. But, you know, if the more we can talk about this, and even your story with the lead, you know, this so resonates with men, you know, feeling like there's lead in your boots and you can't even walk, and you're praying he's not there. But, you know, if you've had a calling, then you've got to answer the call, and it will be the greatest level of courage you ever have to have, because I would have rather gone and had a fight, or rather gone and done something dangerous, or fought trees, or gone for a run, or hit the gym than do this. But the true strength of a man is in facing himself and overcoming.
And I just want to shout out about the value and the importance of not being alone. In fact, I want to say live on radio to you, Stacey, that At the end of this, I'm going to give you my phone number. I'm so for you. I'm so for your work. I'm so for your message. I'm going to give you my phone number so you can reach out to me whenever you feel you want another man who does this work or similar work. Don't do the same, but we're really on the same line here. To reach out, to know that you're not alone in your work, to be able to just call me up and say, "Hi, Jerry, I could do with a call. Let's have a chat."
Yeah, it means a lot. It does mean a lot, Jerry, because, yeah, just knowing that there's another man that's saying, hey, brother, I see you. I know what it's like to walk on this journey. I know that there's days, even though when you're leading the journey, that you're going to need someone to talk to. So it means a lot. And just want to take a second just to let it offer land, Jerry, and just say thank you for it, brother.
It's hard doing what you're doing.
Yeah, it is hard some days, you know, because you're often, you know, what I've found is I'm blazing a path that's unknown. And, you know, for men, we love certainty. We love knowing. We love knowing where we're going, what we're doing, how we're going to do it. But this work and the modalities and the learnings and the things that you grow through, it's changing and evolving every day, and the different challenges that come across your path as you work with different people and level up. It's you know, it is challenging. It's challenging at times, but what I'm really learning to do, Jerry, is embrace the unknown. And that's probably what I've been able to do in the last couple of weeks, is realize it's not bad or good. It's just unknown. And on the other side is wisdom, and on the other side of wisdom is certainty. And so as I just sit in it now, instead of trying to run from it, feeling the uncomfortable, sometimes it's just lying down on the floor and breathing just to feel it, just to feel the uncertainty and the discomfort in my nervous system and in my body, and just be with it and just allow myself to be with it instead of trying to push it down or run from it. And the more I do that, the more, especially the last couple of weeks, Jerry, the energy that's coming back and just feeling safe and knowing that it's okay to feel the discomfort. And I did this the other day, you know, I was leveling up for this new opportunity that came, and I could feel the energy in my nervous system. And I was like, right. And I lied down on the floor and I could feel the sensations in my body, in my arms and my legs. This is just two or three breaths in. And I'm like, no wonder you want to push this down, because that inner child wouldn't have liked this, right? He wouldn't have liked this feeling. But now I just notice if I sit with it for 1, 2, 5 minutes, whatever it takes, and I just be, I just imagine bathing in a bath of it as I'm breathing. Within a few minutes, it's like my body goes, oh, that's not fear, that's excitement. You've just been perceiving it as fear, and it just releases so much, and so much freedom comes.
Beautiful. I want to say something about the alcohol and the work and the exercise and maybe the drugs, or maybe just the total isolation that some men lock themselves into. I feel that most painfully, almost more than the others. The others are all tough as well. And I just want to say around that, you know, that the alcohol is very big here in New Zealand. It's big all around the world, but it's really big because so many men had no help. They had no idea. They had no culture in which to understand what was going on for them. And it's so easy to walk across the road to the off license and just get a bit of pain relief, right? It's a pain relief. And I just want to say to any men listening that if that's been your thing, if that's all that was available, listen, it's bloody fluid in a bottle. It's not going to help you. But you can reach out and get help. There's an amazing worldwide organization called AA. I've got no affiliation with AA, by the way. But as a therapist, I lean very heavily on AA. because people come together in community, they share honestly what's going on, and it can be a great way to get immediate kind of support. And there's all sorts of things available now. There's all sorts of things. And the more it hurts you to pay for it, the more you should do it. Okay. So if you can have pain in doing this stuff, then you're likely to see it through. You know, I just love you walking away with that $2,000 and the guy had to run out and catch you in the car park. I still can't get over that picture. That is just beautiful, man. That's beautiful. But listen, Stacey, we've run out of time. And I just want to say God bless you, man. And God bless you for all your work and for your journey and your honesty. And we're gonna say goodbye for a little bit of time now, and then I'm going to invite you back to tell us about music that has meaning for you and how important it is for you and how you use it. I feel like I could talk to you for weeks, actually, and I hope to meet you again. If ever you're down my way, let me know. Let's meet up. I love your work. I love your honesty. I love what you're doing. I think what you're doing is so important. But we're going to close off. I'm going to let you get out of the psychotherapist chair.
It's been really awesome, Jerry. Like I say, I feel like I could talk to you for it. Just feels like we've been talking for 10 minutes, you know. So it's been an incredible conversation, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity and for just good, raw, honest conversation.
Well, Stacey Taylor, thank you so much for sitting in the psychotherapist chair.
Thank you, Jerry. Thanks for what you do, brother.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.